This is the Tanakh Podcast with Alex Israel. Today, Sefer Yonah, Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. May our learning be for the zchut of all of the IDF soldiers, for their safety and for their success, for the swift return of all the hostages and the healing of all the wounded in this war in Gaza. In our discussion of chapter 3 yesterday, we discussed whether the repentance, the tshuva, the remorse, the changes that the people of Nineveh made, was it genuine? Was it deep? Was it sincere? Was it a true act of transformation, in which case God was correct to forgive them? Or was it just a passing fad, a deception, a sham? Was it just a display, an act which was a response to the fear of destruction? But it was really just an act. They put on the sackcloth, they put on the, they fasted, but it wasn't particularly deeper than the surface. Well, what does Yonah think? And here we start chapter 4. Vayipalel el Hashem, vayomer ana Hashem, please God, halozeh dvari ad heyoti al admati al kein kidamti livroach Tarshisha. This is what I've been saying ever since I have been on this earth. And that is why I went to Tarshisha. And now we're finding the reason in Yonah's own words of why he decided to go and run away and not perform God's mission. Ki adati, because I know. Ki ata el chanun v'rachum, erech apayim v'rav chesed, v'nicham al hara'ah. I pause there because I'm sure most of you know this pasuk. You are a merciful God, a kind God, erech apayim, slow to anger, v'rav chesed, full of kindness, but usually we say ve'emet. There's no emet here. V'nicham al hara'ah. In other words, you are so kind, you are so merciful. You forgive sin, but where's your emet? Let's remember Yonah's name. Yonah's name is Yonah ben Amittai. Yonah, the man of truth. And he says, I didn't want to do this because I know, God, that you are too forgiving, that you always forgive and you have no truth. Ba'ata Hashem kachna et nafshi mimeni. Ki tov moti michayai. Take my life. I don't want to live in this world, a world without truth. And God says, "Vayomer Hashem, ha'itivchar alach? It's so bad for you." Yonah doesn't even answer him. Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir, vayeshev mikedem la'ir. Yonah left the city. He goes to the east side of the city and makes a sukkah, makes himself a shelter. Vayeshev tachteh ha'batzel ad asher yireh ma yireh ba'ir, until he would see what would happen in the city. What is he waiting to see will happen in the city? Option A, he's waiting to see after 40 days whether the city will be destroyed. But maybe what he's waiting to do is, even before the 40 days are up, he's waiting to see whether the people will go back to their evil ways, their darkam hara'ah. He suspects that, you know, it will be a very short-lived change. Or as one of my rabbis said, we read the book of Yonah on Yom Kippur, and it says he sits in a sukkah. We all make resolutions on Yom Kippur. We all say, I'll do this, I won't do that. How many of those resolutions last as long as Sukkot? He went to sit in a sukkah to see what would happen in the city. Will the city remain on this correct path? Or is this just going, you know, like dust in the wind? So, let's see. And at this point, God, Vayaman, we have this wonderful word. Vayaman Hashem Elokim Kichayon. God makes a gourd. It's a very leafy plant. If you have some sort of pergola or an arbor, it will grow on top of it with lovely leafy leaves like a vine. Vayal Me'al Yonah. So this magical gourd grows in a single day. Yotzela Rosho. It's a shade over his head. La'atzilno Mira'ato. By the way, that word ra'a is used very interestingly in the Sefer. Vayismach Yonah l'kikayon simcha gedola. So if we had ra'a gedola, if we had Sar Gadol, Ir HaGadola, he's now delighted with the Kikayon. By the way, it's interesting, he made for himself a sukkah. He already had protection from the sun. But there's something about this Kikayon, its leafy, shady demeanor, that gives him Simcha Gadola. And now, yet again, Pasuk Zayin, Vayeman Elohim Tolat, Balot HaShachar, and it was at the beginning of the next day, Lemochorat, Vatachet HaKikayon, a little worm comes along, and it starts eating away at the Kikayon till it dries up. And the sun starts shining, Vayeman Elohim Ruach Kadim Harishit, and there is an easterly wind, Vatach HaShemesh HaRosh Yonah, and now Yonah is stricken by the sun, and now he wants to die, not out of ideology, but he wants to die because he's just feeling so uncomfortable. And he says, Tov moti mechayai. This wonderful line of which shows that Yonah is the man who's always wanting to die. I prefer to die than to live. And God says to Yonah, Haytiv charalach al kikayon. Are you so upset about the kikayon? And he says, Haytiv charali an mavet. I prefer to die. What a horrible world. And now God proves to Yonah that his very high and mighty position, that God should establish the Midat HaDin, he should judge people on the basis of justice, on truth, on the basis of their actions. Have they really changed? He makes this wonderful, wonderful statement. He says, Atah chasta l'kikayon, you cared for the kikayon, which you didn't work for, asher lo amalta bo, v'lo gidalto, shebin laila haya bin laila avad. It was here today, gone tomorrow. V'ani lo achus al nivei ha'ir ha'gdola, sheyesh ba harbe mishtei mesrei ribo. I shouldn't have mercy on the city, the great city, which has more than 120,000 people. Adam asher lo yada bein yimino lismolo uveheimar rabba. People who don't know the difference between their right and their left, and many animals. Now this is a puzzling end of the book, because if in chapter 3 it looked like the people had done a thorough teshuva, a thorough repentance, what would we expect it to say? You've had such mercy on a kikayon, on a gourd which you didn't even work for, that was here today, gone tomorrow, and I shouldn't have mercy on the people of the great city, 120,000 people who Shechazru b'tshuva shleima lefanai, who absolutely changed their lives. But God doesn't say that. God says, people who don't know the difference between their right hand and left hand, and many animals. In other words, maybe the people didn't do a tshuva, but they tried. They made an effort. Human beings don't know the difference between their right hand and their left. We're fickle. It's not only the kikayon, which is bin laila haya or bin laila avad. It is here today, gone tomorrow. It is also people who are adam yesodome afar v'sofole afar, that we come from dust and we go back to dust. We are kecheres hanishbar, k'tzitz over, k'tzitz novel, k'tzel over. We're like the passing cloud. We're like the withering flower. We're like the broken pottery, like we say on Yom Kippur. And why should God have mercy on us? Because, you know what? We're no different than the animals. And now I go back to our midrash of yesterday. The people put the suckling calves inside and the mothering and the nursing cows outside. And these ones were crying and those ones were crying. And they said, if you don't have mercy upon us, if you don't have mercy, upon us, then we won't have mercy on these. In other words, what is being activated in the story of Yonah? It is the simple virtue that we are human, and that there are animals, and that we are what we are. But God will have mercy for us anyway. And this is the challenge to Yonah. Yonah is Yonah ben Amittai. He's the man of truth. He says he doesn't believe in mercy. He only believes that God should be. He says, I ran away because you're El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim V'Nicham Al Ara. Where's your truth, God? And if you want, God turns around to him and says, well, where's your truth, Yonah? You didn't deserve this kikayon and you were so upset. You're also a human being who appreciates just the little things, a little bit of a shade above your head. Yonah, when you were in the water, you prayed and you said, you save me and I'll give sacrifices to you. But really? Do you think, and you made fun of those sailors who had made their vows, and you said that they're definitely not going to keep their vows. Are you sure? And maybe there's a value in vowing, even if you don't bring the vow. Why are you so sure that everybody needs to be judged by an absolute yardstick? Why should everybody be put on in a way that you feel like this is what they have to deserve? After all, you are just human beings. Asher lo yada ben yamino uvein smolo uvehema rabba. Or as the pasuk says, Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. Man and animals, God should save. In some way, we're just human beings. We're just like sophisticated animals. Now, what I'm basically saying is there are two ways to read Sefer Yonah. One way is to read Yonah as a story of tshuva. That's what we saw yesterday in chapter 3. Yom Kippur comes along, Yonah comes along, and we're called to shape up, to do our work in order to make ourselves into our best selves. And in that case, Yonah is a call to us to do teshuva, to repent, to realize that things are serious and we better make our actions match our best selves, match our ideals. There's another way of reading Sefer Yonah, and that Sefer Yonah is in certain sense, and when we read it on Yom Kippur, it's in a sense a call to God. It's saying to God, listen, we're only human. We're fickle. We don't carry through with our resolutions. It's true. We really mean to be good, but sometimes our resolutions don't last till Sukkot. But God, we know that you're merciful. You took Yonah to task. Yonah refused to go along with your plans because you're so merciful that you're willing to see human intent and to go and say, you know what, that's enough. You mean well. So God, please accept the fact that we're humans. Maybe on Yom Kippur we'll make all sorts of promises. Maybe we won't follow through for the whole year. But after all, right, we are the people. Asher lo yada ben yamino ulismolo. And you are Hashem el rachum v'chanon. That's it for Sefer Yonah. Tomorrow we start Sefer Micha. See you then.